Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Appreciate that special. I'm so thankful for what Christ has done for us. Luke chapter 10 tonight, beginning at verse 25. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25, as we continue our study through the Gospels and following the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all that he did. And here we find a familiar parable we're going to look at tonight, which answers the question, who is my neighbor? Let's stand together. Luke 10, 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word, convict our hearts. We thank you for the decisions that have been made for Jesus today, and pray we'll see more decisions made for Christ even now. Lord, convict our hearts. Help us to trust only in the finished work of Jesus Christ for our salvation, to inherit eternal life. And Lord, help us to live for you, to follow after you, to be conformed to the image of Jesus, our Savior, to live the life you've called us to live for your glory, not so that we might be saved, but because we are saved by your grace. Please bless now and help, for we're nothing without you. In Jesus' name, amen. And please be seated. As we get into the scriptures tonight, I want you to notice a tempting request. A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This reminds me of what we read in Matthew 19, verses 16 and 17. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And a couple of times in Scripture, we find those coming to Jesus, asking what they must do to inherit eternal life. And what Jesus says to them is probably not what any of us would say. If somebody came up to you tonight after church, if you go out to eat or you stop at the gas station or whatever, they came to you and you started talking to them about church and they said, what do I have to do to go to heaven? I doubt any of you would say, well, you need to keep the commandments. I don't think any of us would answer, you keep the commandments and you'll have eternal life. That's what you got to do. Because we can't see into somebody's heart and we don't know, but Jesus does. Now, these people that came to the Lord wanted to tempt the Lord. Their heart, their desire wasn't really to know the way of eternal life. His purpose in questioning Jesus was to tempt him, to test him thoroughly, to try to trip him up, to find some accusation against him. His heart wasn't in it anyway. But Jesus could see into this man's heart, this lawyer's heart. He could see into the rich young ruler's heart. He knew that they thought they were good. He knew that they did that which was right in their own eyes. They had justified themselves and they had lied to themselves that they were good enough to get to heaven. And the Lord deals with them differently than you and I would. But Jesus deals with them differently than we would. But he gives this tempting request. But Jesus answers with a testing reply. Look, he says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Well, you want to know? You want to know how to inherit eternal life? What does the Scripture say? What does the Word of God say? I want you to notice the truth of his words when he answers, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus says, Thou hast answered right. This is the truth. That's what Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. By the way, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. It is absolutely true. The first commandment is love the Lord your God. Amen. That's it. And the second is like unto it, Leviticus 19 and 18 is where it's found. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. This is the law. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. That's absolutely right. And Jesus said, this do. This do. And thou shalt live. Friends, if you could love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you could have life. Amen. There's a problem. Amen. You can't. Amen. You say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start today. Starting tonight, I'm going to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I'm going to love my neighbor just like I love myself from this day forward. But guess what? There's yesterday. Even if you could. We're guilty before God. Amen. See, Jesus didn't answer the way that you and I would, but he does exactly what we must learn to do. He uses the law to bring the conviction of sin, because what happens next? You see, the man, verse 29, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You see how his heart is revealed? You see the truth of his words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. But you see the true nature of his heart, he says, but he willing to justify himself. What he was looking for was an out. I need you to define who my neighbor is. Because there are some people that I can love as myself, but there are other people that I have a hard time loving. And so if you could clearly define for me who my neighbor is, I would like to justify in my own heart and mind so that I can say that I have loved my neighbor as myself. Sound like a plan for you guys too? It's like some of you people say, I've never hated anybody. You've strongly disliked people, but you've never hated anybody. Friends, it doesn't work. We can't justify ourselves. You can try it with yourself. You can deceive yourself, but you cannot justify yourself before Jesus Christ. He knows. He knows. And so Jesus gives a teaching response. The man said, who is my neighbor? But Jesus is going to show himself. Jesus is going to show himself to be the true neighbor. And he's going to reveal in our hearts if we are neighbors to others. Look at verse 30. When the man says, who is my neighbor? Jesus answers with a parable. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This, friends, is a story of ruin. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. By the way, anytime in the scriptures when you go away from Jerusalem, you're going down. When you go to Jerusalem, you're going up. Because it's the holy city, it's the city of God, it's the place where his spirit would dwell, it's the place where he promised his people to meet with him there, and so it was his city, his place, and when you go away from that place, it's not good, it's always down. Amen. This man went down and he fell among thieves. As he was going down to Jericho, he was stripped of his raiment and wounded and departed. And they left him there and they left him half dead. So they beat him, they robbed him, they even stole the clothes off of his back and they left him there half dead. That was the condition of the man. I want you to notice tonight that a lot of times when we talk about this parable of the Good Samaritan, we like to talk about it and we like to bring it into this analogy about, you know, somebody's on the side of the road changing their flat tire. Which, by the way, it's not a bad thing to stop and help somebody change their tire. That's good. Some of you ought to learn how to change a flat tire so you can do that to help somebody else. Amen. We try to bring it into these scenarios where we're talking about trying to help somebody with some little thing or somebody's asking for food or whatever it is, and that's all good and well. But when we're talking about this case, friends, this man was in a terrible condition. This man was ruined. He was robbed, and he was stripped naked, and he was beaten and wounded and left for dead, and he had no way of helping himself. If someone didn't come along to help him, he would surely die. His condition was far worse than a lot of times we try to bring this analogy into our world. I believe tonight, dear friends, this picture, this man is a picture of a lost man without Christ. We have nothing. And we have no hope for life unless someone comes to help us. It's a story of ruin. It's also a story of rejection. Look at verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. This is a story of ruin. It's also a story of rejection. It just by chance, there just happened to be a priest that came. Now the priest was the keeper of the law. The priest was the one whose job was to be a representative of man to God and stand on the behalf of men. And he was someone who was to minister the word of God, and it was to be a minister of the truth of God's word, and he was to represent the law of God. But when he saw the man, he did nothing. He passed by on the other side. The Levites were that priestly lineage. The Levites were the ones who were chosen of God, who back in Moses' day stood on the Lord's side. And these Levites have been selected by God and used by God and represented God and been blessed by God, the priestly lineage, the priestly tribe. And here we have a Levite who came. And the Bible says that he went over and even looked at the man. And then he passed by on the other side. And we can make the application today. When you see someone in need, we ought to do all that we can to meet that need. Amen. You make that application today that we shouldn't just turn a blind eye to people who are in need, and we ought to meet those needs and help people. But friends, this is a physical story to give a spiritual truth, and the spiritual truth is these are representatives of the law, and the law could do nothing to help them. It would do nothing to help them. Listen, when we are dead in our trespasses and sins, the law is not for us. The law is against us. It's also a story of redemption. Look at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? This is a story of ruin. It's a story of rejection, but it's a story of redemption. And I submit to you tonight, friends, that you can see our Savior in the person of the Samaritan. Would you notice that he came to where he was? See, friends, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to come, and he became one of us, to be one of us, to die for us. Amen. He came to where we were. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And friends, if he had not come, we would never have hope of salvation. We could never be redeemed except that he came. He came to where he was. And notice, friends, if this doesn't sound like Jesus, I don't know what does. When he saw him, he had compassion on him. Well, how many times do we read in the scriptures, when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them. He was moved with compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. Friends, our Savior, he sees us and he has compassion on us. And notice that it says that he went to him. He came to where he was, but he went to the man. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And I don't want to make too much of the picture, but in my Bible, oftentimes the oil represents the Spirit who is the Comforter. And we know that wine has a cleansing power. And the wine is a picture of the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, which takes away the sin of the world. And what a picture of the cleansing of the blood and the comforting of the Spirit as he pours in oil and wine into the man's wounds. He sets him on his own beast. He brings him to an end, and he took care of him. This man, this certain man who was beaten and left half dead, did nothing. But the Samaritan did it all. He put him in the care of the host to care him for a time. And notice that he went away, but he said, "When I come again." Isn't that a great picture? You see, so many times when I've studied this passage of Scripture, I just think about this. The lawyer wants to know, who's my neighbor? Who am I supposed to be good to? But in the answer, I think Jesus does more than try to show him what it means to be a neighbor. I really think that the Lord is giving an even greater and more important lesson. He is saying, "I am the true neighbor." Where the law cannot help you, where others will not help you, where nothing else can help you, I will save you. It's a story of redemption. It's a picture of Christ, who has the compassion to come to us, who has the compassion to heal us, who has the compassion to promise that he will come again. "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." So many of these accounts in Scripture we read about, we see Jesus' interaction with them, and we see them go away, and we never know what happens. What happened to the lawyer that stood up and tempted the Lord? He said, "If I'll just love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself, I can have life." Would he deceive himself into thinking he could do that? No. He answers the Lord to try to justify himself. He says, "Who's my neighbor?" And Jesus gives this picture, this parable. And I wonder if that lawyer was around when Jesus went to the cross. I wonder if he was in the crowd at Calvary that day when Jesus looked down and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I wonder if the light ever came on and he understood that Jesus was the Christ and the only way for him to be saved. I wonder, did he go away justifying himself? "Well, I'll just go and be merciful, and that way I can earn my way into heaven." Or did he understand more? I know this, friends, we don't have a record of everything that happened. We have the record that we need to have. I know this, Jesus told that man exactly what he needed to hear, according to the condition of his heart. But please don't make any mistake about it. If you could love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you could love your neighbor as yourself, you would fulfill the law, but you can't. We ought to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We ought to love our neighbor as ourselves, but we cannot do it perfectly. That's no excuse not to try. It's no excuse not to live by his grace and do all that we can. But we need to understand tonight that our life is only found in the one who died for us and rose again. The one who cleanses us by his blood. The one who gives us life by his Spirit. That's the only way. The only way we have life. And because we have been given life, we ought to go and do likewise to that good Samaritan. We ought to go and have mercy and show compassion to see people and to meet their needs, to do all that we can to help them and give all that we have to help them. And there's nothing greater that we could do than to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you stand with me, please? And as our musicians are coming, I just wonder where you're at tonight. Are we like the lawyer who would try to justify ourselves? We're willing to justify ourselves. Are we like the certain man who has been beaten and robbed and left for dead? Are we Pharisaical like the priests and the Levites who see people and see them hurting, but we just pass by on the other side? We don't have time to help people. We don't have time for all that. We're not going to get involved with the mess that people are in today. Or are we like our Savior who sees, who has compassion, who is willing to give and to help others in need? If the Lord's convicting your heart about anything tonight, I beg you to come right now while we sing. Page 5.